What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Paris Saint-Germain remains undefeated and therefore remains in complete control of Ligue 1. Ligue 1 competition continues to be somewhat interesting, but Les Parisiens don't seem to be in a position to where they are threatened in their position in first place. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Into the Net FC. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And a look at how the Ligue 1 season continues to play out. As I said time and time again, at this point, the competition doesn't really involve first place, but who will finish in the top three? Monaco seems to have fallen out of the top three because Nice is now up there. Olympique de Marseille remains in second, and they're doing their best to try to somehow, some way, pull off somewhat of an incredible move and somehow threaten Paris Saint-Germain. Of course, Olympique de Marseille would love nothing more than to pull off the impossible, take first place, and win Ligue 1. Now, anything could happen because there's still plenty of football left to play, but Paris Saint-Germain maintains a 10-point lead over second place Olympique de Marseille. Well, speaking of Olympique de Marseille, well, they had a great game this week. My French compatriot in Los Angeles, Anthony, would honestly be very satisfied with the result because Marseille got a 5-1 win over Saint-Étienne. Well, in my case, seeing Adrien Rabiot score a goal, well, makes me happy. Adrien Rabiot has been doing fantastic for Olympique de Marseille. As far as I'm concerned, Marseille really is trying to somehow, someway stay in it because they seem so confident in themselves. You know, at some point when the season was just getting started, Marseille, Paris Saint-Germain, and AS Monaco were seriously in a three-way war for first place. And I think briefly, I remember Monaco briefly actually had first place. I think Marseille might have had it actually briefly as well, but it didn't take long for Marseille and Monaco to kind of have a couple of shortcomings, and Paris Saint-Germain would take full advantage of it. Paris Saint-Germain stands at 17 wins, 5 draws, and has yet to lose in Ligue 1. I mean, whether you like Paris Saint-Germain or not, there's just no denying that they are doing pretty good so far this season in Ligue 1. Now, as far as the Champions League is concerned, after that big win over Brest in the first leg of the Champions League knockout playoff run, it seems that Les Parisiens are well on their way to the round of 16. As far as who they'll play in the round of 16, well, I look forward to seeing who it will be. Obviously, right now, as far as the Champions League knockout playoffs go, Real Madrid versus Manchester City is the game that we all have our eyes on the most. Now, I'm looking at the standings. Now, as I said, PSG and Marseille are the top two. And somehow Nice, well, according to this source, I'm actually going to check it from Goal.com. I sort of got Google and Goal.com have actually said some different, have actually had the standings differently. So sometimes it causes that much confusion. And I want to make sure I get it right. Well, Goal.com shows the same thing. Nice is in third place and Monaco is in fourth. Now, Nice and Marseille are in fact both at 40 points. What makes the difference right here is simply goal differential. So... as far as I'm concerned, Monaco hasn't scored as many goals as Nice. Both have scored 44. But the difference is that Monaco has conceded 2 more goals so far than Nice. So it's the 2 goal differential as far as goals conceded. So it's good to see that there's still like somewhat of some strong competition. I mean, as far as Nice goes, my other French compatriot, Laurent, God bless that guy. Don't worry, Anthony. I love you too, brother. Well... speaking of Nice, I should say, my friend Laurent, who's actually from Nice, well, I actually didn't get a chance to see him today, but I'm sure I'm going to see him in a couple days. I would love to actually hear his thoughts on Nice being in third place. You know, Nice playing in the Champions League next season would certainly be something super interesting, but if Monaco wasn't there, then, man. Well, Monaco's in a position. I mean, if you finish in fourth place, then you qualify for the Champions League qualifiers. Now, if you finish in the top three, you're automatically in the group stage. So Monaco is in a position to where if they finished in fourth place and right now, if the season were to end right now and they finished in fourth, Monaco would just have to qualify for a group stage spot. As it stands, PSG, Marseille, and Nice would automatically be in. Now, we got Lille in fifth place, okay, which would mean they would qualify for Europa League group stage. And Lyon, the club of my hometown, Lyon, Olympique Lyonnais, is in sixth, which would mean that if the season finished right now, they would actually be in the qualifiers for the Europa Conference League. So there's still, you know, the top six. I mean, the top three is ultra interesting, but the top six, you know, remains to be extremely the biggest story because, you know, you got the biggest clubs in the French league, you know, competing in those spots. So it would be nice to see all the top French clubs actually compete in somewhat of a competition next year, whether it's the Champions League, the Europa League, or the Europa Conference League, even though many are still refusing to address the Europa Conference League as a competitive nature. I mean, it's up, you know, there's something up for grabs in that competition. So it is a competition, whether it's as strong as the Europa League or Champions League or not. Bottom line is, yes, Europa Conference League is a competition, and it should be taken seriously. So anyway, going back to Marseille's 5-1 win over Saint-Étienne, well, I mean, the results speaks for itself, and Marseille wasted absolutely no time. Now, Saint-Étienne, believe it or not, well, Saint-Étienne is actually, well, unfortunately, one of the bad teams in Ligue 1. They're actually in 16th place, which would be that they're actually very close to the relegation zone. They're only 1 point safe from the relegation zone. The relegation zone is Le Havre and the Ligue 1 worst, Montpellier, who, by the way, lost today to my hometown club, Olympique Lyonnais. It's, well, you know, and, you know, seeing Reims be down low so low, I could have sworn at one point Reims was actually a pretty good team. As far as I'm concerned, Reims has just been an absolute mess. I could have sworn Reims actually might have been in the top four at least at one point this season in Ligue 1, unless I'm just crazy, unless I'm just dreaming. But I'm telling you, is I could have sworn. But Reims has just been an absolute downward spiral. Reims actually just lost today to Angers. And then the previous week, that 4-0 loss to Lyon. I'm actually trying to figure out the last time Reims actually won a game in Ligue 1. Now, on the 14th of January, they actually pulled off that huge win in the French Cup, round of 32, eliminating AS Monaco. But as far as Ligue 1 goes, I'm not sure exactly the last time Reims actually won a game. Man, I'm actually looking at it right now, man. I think the last game that Reims may have won in Ligue 1 may have been last October against Montpellier. Man. I think that's where the losing streak must have come to an end because they were on a winning streak, but now they're on a losing streak that I think dates back to October, and this is strictly in Ligue 1. So, trying to scroll through just to make sure, but yes, I think the last time Reims won a game in Ligue 1 was last October. And again, I could have sworn that they were actually one of the top clubs when the season was just getting started, but if that's the case, if I remember correctly, unless I'm getting them confused with another club, well, clearly I'm just out of my mind. Reims is 5 points clear of the relegation zone. Stade Rennes is actually 1 point above them, and Nantes is in 15th place. So, man, if Nantes somehow, some way, ended up in the relegation zone, I mean, this would be 2007 all over again. I'll never forget. I mean, that particular crisis in 2007 with FC Nantes. I think in that season they were relegated for the first time in 56 years in 2007. I remember when French legendary goalie Fabien Barthez signed with the club in order to help them in their bid to escape the relegation. But Fabien Barthez's time at Nantes back in 2007, well, it honestly was a huge waste of time. Barthez coming out of retirement to help the club. Barthez was never really Barthez. You know, you could tell that he was just not in a good place at that point. If I remember correctly, he had conceded 23 goals and 14 starts. And, you know, when Barthez, you know, abruptly left the club after he was attacked by rowdy, drunken Nantes fans, man, I remember that story very, very well. So, when I was following back then, although I was only about 13, 14 years old, I never really was for Barthez playing for Nantes, because I knew that Barthez at that point, you know, not that he wasn't good anymore, but, you know, he was retired as a player. He was retired. And, you know, at that point, he really had nothing left. But I just don't remember. I mean, the way Barthez's career ended, you know, especially in the international play with France losing to Italy in the penalty shootout. Yeah, that was brutal for me, but, you know, it was very brutal for Barthez, because I think Barthez, around the end of his career, he had aspirations to play in the first club where he started his career, which would be Toulouse. So I think it's because, you know, Toulouse is close to where he was born and raised. But anyway, kind of briefly going down memory lane with one of the greatest goalies of all time, Fabien Barthez, an individual that I have a lot of respect for, and I'm very, very grateful for everything he did for the sport. You know, it was Barthez that actually helped me, you know, that actually inspired me to play, you know, to play the goalie position when I was playing association football with some friends. I would try to imitate what I saw Barthez do on television, but in my case, it never really worked, because I knew I could never be like Fabien Barthez. Anyway, so Nantes is in a not very good position. I mean, you know, looking at these positions right here, Auxerre, I always forget if it's Auxerre or Auxerre. Auxerre's not in a good point right here. I mean, Brest is actually ninth place, and Lens is above them, and Strasbourg's in seventh. So Lyon is 3 points clear of seventh place Strasbourg. But again, the top three is PSG, Marseille, and Nice. And you have Monaco in fourth, Lille in fifth, and Lyon in sixth. So the competition from second place to sixth place has actually been kind of a... Well, it's been of a toss-up, because there's been changes and changes and changes. I mean, Lille, I think, at one point was in the top three and then moved down back to fourth. I think Lyon also was basically in the top five as well. So, again, the competition for Ligue 1, even though first place seems to be a little bit, out of reach, it's still good to see that there's still somewhat some competition. You know, right now it looks to be from third place to maybe sixth. Now, Marseille is 6 points clear of both Nice and Monaco, but... You never know what's going to happen. You really honestly never know. And speaking of Monaco, now we talk about Marseille having a huge win. Now, Marseille wasn't the only one with a huge win, because Monaco got a 7-1 win over Nantes. But you have to keep in mind, and this is not to take anything away from Marseille or Monaco. The point is that Nantes and Saint-Étienne are both horrible teams. But let's not forget, Marseille at one point suffered a huge upset loss to Angers. I think Monaco suffered, you know, one or two upset losses as well. So we might as well give them credit for the wins, even though they're against bad teams, because Monaco and Marseille have had some shortcomings against some pretty bad teams so far this season. Now, speaking of an ugly win, I mean, Paris Saint-Germain's 1-0 win on the road against Toulouse. Yeah, that one was pretty ugly. As far as Monaco's 7-1 win over Nantes, well, one player actually got a hat trick, and another player actually got a brace. And it was just a scoring machine for Monaco. And believe it or not, Monaco winning 7-1, believe it or not, it was not Monaco who scored first. It was actually Nantes. Nantes scored within the first 5 minutes, but the bigger story is, in the 8th minute of the game, Nantes already lost a player to a red card. Yeah, that's pretty unpleasant. You know, scoring within 5 minutes, and then just a few minutes later, a player is thrown out of the game due to a red card, and then Monaco just takes complete advantage of it. Man, in the 8th minute, a player by the name of Nicolas Cosa ended up being ejected, or sent off, as they say in the sport of association football. Yeah, although it took Monaco, even though a player got sent off in the 8th minute, Monaco didn't actually equalize until the 44th minute, if I'm reading it correctly. And within like a span of about maybe a minute or so, Monaco had the lead, because in the 45th minute, well, it was 2-1. A player by the name of Micah Biereff scored the hat trick for AS Monaco, and a player by the name of George Ilenkina actually scored the brace. And I hope I said those names correctly. Y'all know how I hate butchering names of not just athletes, but I hate butchering names in general. But a player by the name of Takumi Minamino actually gave Monaco the lead. You know, after Biereff scored the first goal. And a player, Elias Ben-Segir, scored in the 49th minute. So within a span of about 5 minutes, Monaco had a 3-1 lead. So that's pretty interesting. So anyway, well, technically it is a span of 3 minutes. Now, The third goal was scored in the second half in the 49th minute, so technically, yeah, but technically, no. That was good for Monaco. Now, to briefly talk about PSG's win, I should mention, most of these goals actually had an assist, so it was good to see Monaco be able to dominate and succeed as a team. You know, the first three goals each came with assists. I mean, Minamino actually had several assists as well. So, for Minamino to actually score a goal and provide two assists, I mean, that's got to be extremely amazing. But all these goals, you know, with assists, I mean, it just goes to show that the teamwork actually played a huge role in Monaco's win over Nantes. Anyway, now, as far as I'm concerned, PSG's 1-0 win over Toulouse. I mean, I know that my friend Anthony is kind of shaking his head right now because while Anthony loves my work, you know, Anthony is not really, he's not the kind of man that is interested in hearing about PSG, especially because PSG is still on top and his club, Marseille, is really trying hard to catch up, which is going to prove to be very, very difficult. Sorry, Anthony. No disrespect, brother. All right. But anyway, well, in PSG's case, you know, this ugly 1-0 win, I mean, considering that PSG had six shots on target and made just one of them count, well, that simply cannot be overlooked. Now, Toulouse had shots on target of their own, but they could not make any of them count. Man, I think in this case, well, both teams, you know, both had 15 clearances along with seven interceptions. So this game was clearly a case of heavy and resilient defending and iron rock solid defending. But and the Toulouse goalie making five saves and four by the PSG goalie. And now I want to take a look at the lineup because I'm sure the Toulouse goalie, I've spoken about him here before on this program. Must be that youngster I've been talking about. Yes, although he actually ended up being substituted out. So Guillaume Rest actually is that goal that I talked about before, but he ended up actually coming out of the game. I'm really curious to know what happened. The 19-year-old came out of the game, and I would assume maybe it was an injury. I'm not sure, but I'm curious to see how many saves he had in this one, because especially if he got out of the game in the 43rd minute, then I'm not sure exactly what to expect. Now, as far as I'm concerned, in the PSG goalie, it was not... Donnarumma. Donnarumma didn't actually get the start in this one. As a matter of fact, Donnarumma wasn't even on the bench. So, well, he's not on the injury list. Warren Zaïre-Emery is actually on the injury list, so that has to be pretty concerned. But you know, a PSG player that I've actually been that I've had my eye on as of late is Désiré Doué. A young striker who's actually been able to actually play, you know, very, very respectively. You know, I see the starting lineup. I mean, Ousmane Dembélé didn't even start this game. As a matter of fact, Ousmane Dembélé was on the bench. He came in the 63rd minute. But the starting lineup, and especially in the front three for Paris Saint-Germain, was Doué, Barcola, and that Georgian player, which I'm not even going to try to say it because I don't know that I'm going to butcher it. But, and Hakimi was actually the captain in this one, but... I think in this game, it was kind of smart to actually to rest some of the starters, especially because there's the next Champions League knockout playoff game coming up. Even though it seems that Paris Saint-Germain has it well under control, it seems that somewhat of a precaution, you know, was taking place. Now, as far as Guillaume Rest, I'm just not sure exactly what's going on. Again, you know, I'm just, you know, seeing it right from here as I do this episode. So I'm quickly looking it up, but I don't see anything, honestly. Nothing's pulled up, so, well, yeah, nothing. Honestly, absolutely nothing, so, man. Yeah, there's no stories about it, so I'm not sure exactly what happened with the Toulouse goalie, but, anyway, a total of five saves was made by the Toulouse goalies. I don't know if it's combined or with whoever came in, but, anyway. Yeah, so there's obviously the mystery involving Toulouse with the goalie position, so, again, I'm not sure what happened, but... It was actually midfielder Ruiz that scored for Les Parisiens. That was pretty much it. Scored in the 52nd minute, and Toulouse never really was not able to respond. Yeah, PSG's win was pretty ugly. Now, definitely excited to talk about Lyon's 4-1 win over Montpellier. Well, Lille got the 2-0 win over Stade Rennes, and the two goals were scored within a span of about 6 minutes. Because Lille didn't take the lead until the 88th minute, and a few minutes later, they doubled it to seal the deal. I mean, Lille versus Rennes, well, that's always interesting. Obviously, Lucas Chevalier got the start, so I'm actually curious to see how many saves he got in this one. I pull it up. Well, Lille has actually been pretty... You know, Lille is already in the Champions League round of 16, so It would actually be incredible if Lille was able to make a deep run in the Champions League, and if Lucas Chevalier was a huge part of it, making save after save after save after save, well, it would certainly boost his career because the bigger clubs are going to be basically begging for him to, you know, begging to sign him. So anyway, now that I've got it pulled up, well, actually, Lucas Chevalier did not make any saves. The Stade Rennes, Samba, the goalie for Rennes, Samba, actually made five saves total. So I believe, you know, yeah, Bryce Samba, who actually has represented the French national team before. So, well, Bryce Samba made a total of five saves and, well, certainly did his best for the club, but the club really could not respond, you know, from anything after that. But I'm actually surprised that Lucas Chevalier didn't make any saves. Now, Stade Rennes' defense was actually pretty respectable. 17 clearances, 6 interceptions, 9 clearances by Lille, and 4 interceptions by the Lille defense. But as far as shots on target, well, the problem is, here's the reason why Lucas Chevalier did not have any saves. It's because Stade Rennes did not have a single shot on target. Did not have a single shot on target, while Lille had 7 and made 2 of them count. So it makes sense as to why Bryce Samba had 5 saves and Lucas Chevalier had 0. Because Stade Rennes never had a shot on target. Man, it's unfortunate because, you know, seeing Lucas Chevalier make those fantastic saves, I mean, it's truly an absolute work of art. I mean, it's true brilliant talent. I mean, Lucas Chevalier is severely underrated, let me tell you. Severely underrated. Well, that's pretty much it for Lille's win over Stade Rennes. Now Nice over Le Havre. Don't really have anything to say about it, but well, Nice got the 3-1 win on the road, and this allows Nice to go in the top 3. But there's really nothing to say about this one, to be honest with you. I'm going to try to do my best, though. Although Nice actually lost they had one player sent off in stoppage time, which honestly didn't really do any damage. Technically, Nice took the lead in the 16th minute, and 2 minutes later, an own goal gave him a 2-0 lead. And even though Le Havre cut that lead in half about 10 minutes later, well, in the fourth minute of stoppage time, Nice, you know, made it 3-1. So this was kind of a back and forth sort of thing. You know, Le Havre, you know, cut the lead in half and probably could have had a chance to somehow equalize, but Nice basically made sure that they kept themselves well intact. As far as I'm concerned, well, again, honestly, nothing really to say about this one, and I'm the fact that I have nothing to say about this one, well, I'm sure my friend Laurent wouldn't be too happy to hear me say, so I'm going to try to see if I can figure out something. Well, here's something interesting, actually. Nice actually did not, it was not the club that had more shots on target. As a matter of fact, they only had 3. And technically, they made 2 of them count because, you know, the own goal doesn't really count as a shot on target. But Le Havre had 4 shots on target, and they made 1 of them count. But Nice basically making 2 out of their 3 shots on target count is actually very, very interesting. So I'm glad I came across that. As far as defense goes, well, Nice's goalie made 3 saves and Le Havre's goal made 1 save. And again, kind of a case of some solid defending. Both teams registered 6 clearances and Nice had 18 interceptions while Le Havre had 15. So that's pretty much all there is to say about that one. Now, and of course, Angers with a 1-0 win over Reims. Definitely nothing to say about that. Auxerre and Brest finishing in a 2-2 draw. Nothing to say about that. But, of course, Strasbourg beating Lens. I mean, that's a little bit somewhat of a concern because, you know, Lens actually at one point was actually one of the best clubs in the French League this season. But I think things have kind of gone downhill for Lens. I'm not sure where they are now. They're actually in 8th place and Strasbourg is in 7th. So there's actually a tie between Strasbourg and Lens, and again, it's goal differential that makes the difference. So, man. Well, now we get to Lyon versus Montpellier. So in my case, the club of my hometown, we saved that for last. We saved the best for last. Well, you got to give it to Montpellier. At one point, you know, it seemed that they had made the game interesting. Lyon took the lead within the first 3 minutes, and then about 35 minutes later, Montpellier equalized, and it was 1-1. But late in the second half, you know, starting in the 50th minute, Lyon took control and basically did not relinquish at all. So at halftime, it was 1-1. And it was interesting to see that both goals scored in the first half, one goal by each respective team, was with an assist. So that's the art of teamwork when an assist is made. And every single goal scored by Lyon actually came with an assist, believe it or not. Now, Lyon regained the lead in the 50th minute. And about 3 minutes later, they doubled their lead. And then 20 minutes later, they scored their fourth goal, and that was it. Kind of seemed like, basically, in the 53rd minute, it would seem that that would be it then. But no, Montpellier actually had all the time in the world to not only come back to equalize, but also possibly score the game winner. But Lyon made sure that that did not happen, ladies and gentlemen. Well, both teams had two shots on target. Well, excuse me, actually, shots off target. I just hope I didn't get that confused with anything else. It was two shots off target by two from both sides. Because I was going to say, how in God's name did Lyon score four goals and only have two shots on target? No, Lyon actually had six shots on target and made four of them count. And Montpellier had four shots on target and, of course, made only one of them count. Montpellier, to their credit, though, had more counterattacks with three, while Lyon only had one. Well, the Lyon goalie had three saves, while the Montpellier goalie had two. Well, only a combined four clearances by combined. Three for Lyon and one by Montpellier. But the interceptions is the big picture. 38 by Lyon and 24 by Montpellier. Man, so despite the low clearances, I mean, the intercepted passes, well, I mean, that speaks for itself. And despite all those intercepted passes, you know, very little counterattacks as well. So Lyon basically had this one all figured out. I mean, well, at least for a while, I mean, it kind of looked as though that Montpellier could have made it interesting. But again, that didn't happen. But, you know, Montpellier, unfortunately, well, they're buried at the very bottom of Ligue 1. Well, I mean, they're only about 6 points clear of the relegation zone. But, I mean, that really doesn't do them any favors. Well, we don't really know what to expect. You know, coming out, I mean, if Montpellier actually somehow, some way found a way to escape, I mean, that would certainly be a story. But then again, speaking of relegation, I mean, Lyon is still facing all that trouble because of some sort of, I forget exactly what it was, something with financial situation about Lyon. So I think that there was that one that if Lyon did not resolve the situation by the end of the season, they would be automatically relegated regardless of how they finished. So. Yeah, as far as relegation, I mean, I never did an episode on that particular situation. I was actually talking to my friend, my mentor, Mr. Steve Adams, about it, and he agreed that we should wait to see how the whole story plays out before we do the episode on it. Now, one thing I regret is the whole situation with Bordeaux. I never did an episode on that, which I really kind of regret. Now, back in November, ESPN reported that Lyon had been handed a provisional relegation along with a transfer ban, so... Yeah, that actually just caught me completely off guard, man. So basically said, unless the finances drastically improve, I mean, especially because now they're on a transfer ban, man. Seeing Lyon in League 2, I mean, as a native Lyonnais, it would certainly break my heart. But if Olympique Lyonnais put themselves in this position, well, at the end of the day, I really honestly just, well, I can't argue it. I really just cannot argue it. So. Now, before I take a look at the top scorers, once again, the Ligue 1 table, PSG is in first place with a 10-point lead over second place Marseille. Nice is in third, and along with Monaco right behind them, and you have Lille in fifth and Lyon in sixth. So the top three is interesting. The top six overall is the big picture, obviously, but... Seeing the top clubs in France, you know, somehow battle it out for something, you know, that keeps the story going. And now to take a look at the top players. Now, I know that Ousmane Dembele remains as the league top scorer at the moment with 16 goals. And Mason Greenwood is in 14th place with Jonathan David in 12th place. And you have Bradley Barcola in 4th. Seeing two PSG players in the top four doesn't surprise me. A player by the name of Ajok actually is in 5th place with 10 goals. So, the top 10, you know, really looks interesting, but it's obviously the top 3, well, the top 4, rather, well, actually, honestly, the top 3, that's the big picture. No disrespect to Bradley Barcola, but right now, it would be interesting to see if Bradley Barcola somehow, someway, started scoring more goals and he surpasses Jonathan David for third place and somehow even catches up to Mason Greenwood. Well, personally, for Bradley Barcola, considering the super high potential future for this young player... I think Barcola, if somehow Barcola started scoring goal after goal after goal after goal and actually took first place for the top scorer position in Ligue 1 and ended up winning the award, I mean, that would be a hell of a story, and that would simply actually open more doors for him as far as opportunities go. It wouldn't happen immediately, but more clubs are going to keep an eye on them because, again, much like Lucas Chevalier, if Barcola continues to be so dominant, which I know that he will, clubs are going to be begging for him to sign with them. There's going to be serious competition. So, I mean, the likes of probably Barcelona, I'm sure several English clubs are going to take a look. I mean, the top clubs in Europe are going to be competing to sign Barcola along with Chevalier as long as things continue to go well for them, which I know it will. So, in Barcola's case and in Chevalier's case, if Lille and PSG respectively made deep runs in the Champions League and Barcola and Chevalier played huge roles in that, well, there you go. Then everything would kind of basically be out in the open and clubs would have to do their homework. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you can find Into the Net FC on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and on YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify on your cell phone, please let me know your thoughts in the comments regarding the situation involving Ligue 1. Will PSG somehow, someway suffer a collapse and not win Ligue 1? Why or why not? Anything you have to say about regarding Ligue 1? I'm very curious to know. If you're listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, if you would please be so kind to please not only hit that subscribe button and that notification bell, but please also leave a 5-star review because they mean a lot and it's what helps the show improve and it keeps the show going. Of course, once again, it's back on YouTube. Just go look for Into the Net FC on YouTube. Yes, I'm trying again. So far, it's been pretty difficult, but I'm just refusing to quit. It's the love and support that just helps me keep going. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one and God bless.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.